We are living in the end times. The church has to understand the times and know what to do. The Bible contains prophecy about current and future events. Join Reverend I.T. Matura as it does an exposition of the book of Revelations.
Greetings, saints. Welcome to an exposition of the book of Revelation with Reverend I.T. Matura. We continue on our journey of studying the book of Revelation. We are on lesson 21, chapter 21 of the book of Revelation, and I have titled this lesson, The New Heaven and the New Earth. Now we are nearing the end of our exposition, and I believe that there are still a number of things that God wants us to learn. So I want you to take out your Bible, take out your notebook. Let's get ready to write down notes and write down lessons that we can practically apply in our lives. I'm going to do an overview of the chapter first, then I'll look at the seven lessons that we can draw out of this chapter. And I believe that there will be a blessing and they will empower you and you'll be edified by the word of God. Now, verse 1 to verse 2, John sees a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and earth had passed away. He sees this glorious scene of a new heaven and a new earth. John saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride. What a beautiful sight it is. After all the commotion and all the tribulation, all the plagues, all the wrath of God, all the trumpets have been sounded, all the seven seals have been opened, the wrath of God has been completed. Now a new heaven and a new earth. You can imagine the destruction that has been on earth. There has been war. The beast and the false prophet have been defeated. The dragon himself has been defeated. Trees have been bent up. A lot of things have been destroyed. Buildings have been destroyed. And God starts again. God starts anew. And he builds, or he creates, a new heaven and a new earth. He transformed it. He transforms it totally. Verse 3 to 4, John hears a loud voice from heaven, and that voice says, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." When all has been made new, the voice cries out, "The tabernacle of God is now with men, and he will dwell with them. They shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." Verse 4 says, "And God shall wipe all their tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away." What a blessing it will be. No more pain, no more tears, no more crying. This is what God has prepared for us, a place where there is no sorrow. You remember Job says the days of a man are very few and they are full of troubles and a lot of sorrow here on earth. But when we get to our home in heaven and when God makes all things new, there is no more pain, there is no more sorrow, there is no more crying. It is thus joy in the presence of God. Verse 5 to 8, God spoke from his throne and he speaks to John. In verse number 5, it says, "He that sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." God is making a declaration that I am making all things, not some things, but all things. I am making them new, afresh, brand new. God is making everything new. This is after tribulation. Revelation 21 and verse 6 says, "And he said unto me, It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that thirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." Christ then makes a declaration after the declaration to say, "I will make all things new." He then declares his authority that it is done. You remember on the cross, Jesus said, "It is finished," when he finished the work of redemption. Now here he has finished the work of transformation of heavens and earth. And he says, "It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end." And he promises to give anyone who thirsts to drink from the fountain of water of life for free. Verse 7 says, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I'll be his God and he shall be my son. What a blessing. What a promise. But verse 8 says, but the fearful and unbelieving, the abnormal, the murderers, and the warmongers, the sorcerers, idolaters, all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So God says not everyone has access to this place, which is the new heaven and the new earth. It is for those that God has set apart, those that have overcome, and they shall be with God, and God shall call them his sons. But the fearful, unbelieving, murderers, those full of abominations, warmongers, sorcerers, idolaters, liars, shall not have a part in that which God has created, but they shall be cast into the lake of fire. You remember when we ended chapter 20, the Bible says those that were not found in the book of life were cast into the lake of fire. And this is a description of their works here. And this is the second death. Verse 9 to 10, one of the seven angels that was with one of the seven bowls came to John and invited him to see the Lamb's wife. The Lamb's wife appears and he carries him in the spirit to a high mountain, and he showed him the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Verse 11 to 14, John gives a description of the glory of the city. What a glorious city it was. Verse 11 says, having the glory of God, her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like jasper stone, clear as crystal. Verse 12 says, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. Verse 14, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in the foundation, in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So this was a glorious city, was built with precious stone. It had 12 gates, and the gates were named after the tribes of Israel. And it had 12 foundations, and the foundations were named after the apostles of the Lamb, which were the first disciples of Christ, the 12 disciples. Verse 15 to 21 then says, John describes the measurements of New Jerusalem. It was a perfect square. The length, the breadth, the height was equal. He also describes the material that was used to build the city, special minerals and special stones of all kinds, jasper, onyx, you can name them all kinds of special minerals are used in this city. It's a glorious city. Verse 16 says, and the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth, and is he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs, and the length and breadth and the height of it are equal. Verse 18 says, and the building of the wall of it was of jasper. The city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. Verse 21, and 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Can you imagine? What a blessing. The city is made of pure gold. You can imagine how people on earth kill each other for gold here. How people are greedy for money. How it takes a lot to dig out gold and to store it up and to have it. But in heaven and in the new Jerusalem, the city of God, it will be made of gold, just transparent as glass, pure gold that is so beautiful. And the Bible says that each gate there will be a pearl. You know the beauty of pearls. The whole gate, not a necklace, not just a necklace, but the whole gate is a pearl gate. What a glorious city it will be. Verse 22 to 27, John saw the temple in the city. John saw no temple in the city. There was no temple. The Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. So there is no temple in the city of God. God himself and Jesus Christ are his temple. There is no sun or a moon, for the glory of God will illuminate the city. And the light of the lamp will be the light for the city. So there is no sun or moon, but God and Jesus will be the light and the sun of the city. Nations of whom are saved will walk in this light. Those that are saved, the saints. The gates of the city are open all day. There are no thieves there. There's no worry about anything being stolen. People will bring the glory and honor of nations to the city. Nothing that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only will be allowed in the city, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life will be allowed to enter. Vazalwan, what a blessed city it will be. And we should look forward to that city, because when Christ comes back again, as we saw him come back in chapter 19, when he prevails over the beast and the false prophet, he sets up a kingdom for 1,000 years, but he sets it up on this earth as it is now. But after 1,000 years, the devil is released, he is overcome, he is cast into the lake of fire. People are judged on the great white throne, and then they are cast into the lake of fire. After that, God makes all things new, and there comes down the city of God like a bride adorned for a husband. It is a beautiful and glorious city, a place and a habitation for God, where the saints will serve God, where the saints will worship him, a glorious city named after the 12 tribes and the 12 apostles. What a blessing for us to be there and to be in that city that God has prepared for us. Hallelujah. We want to look at 7 lessons that we draw out of this chapter, chapter 21. Number one, God will create a new heaven and earth. For the first heaven and earth was found not worthy. You see that this earth has been corrupted. The human race has been corrupted. You hear in Romans chapter 8 saying, even the creation groans with mourning, with eager desire for the manifestation of the sons of God. So even this creation that is there, the trees and the animals, they have been bound in mortality, in disease, in sickness, and in death. But that was not the original intention of God. When God created Adam and Eve and placed them in the garden, his intention was that they would not die. But because of sin, men began to die. And God prepared the plan of salvation. The Bible says the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the earth. So he came, he died on the cross, he bought us at a price, and we were redeemed. As many as the saints that are redeemed will return with him on the second coming. Thereafter, God will create all things new. After he has dealt with all the evil, the demons, the sin, the corruptible, that which is full of abomination, lies, sorcery, you get rid of it. There you set up a new heaven and a new earth, a glorious one, because the first has not been found worthy. You will do it anew again. What a blessing. Lesson number two, God will come and tabernacle among men. Verse number 3 of chapter 1, he says, now God will tabernacle among men. They will be his people and he will be their God. This has always been the original plan of God. When God created Adam, he wanted to dwell with him. He would come in the cool of the day and fellowship with Adam, but Adam fell short. Then from there, God tried to make ways. He then brought the tabernacle of Moses, and he brought the Ark of God, which was a sign of the presence of God, a type of that temple that was in heaven. So he says, I want to tabernacle among Israel. That too was not enough, because it was sanctified by the blood of animals. Then God brought Christ to sanctify us, and he said, your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So he dwelt in us, and he dwells in us now. He says, I'll be with you and I'll be among you, God Emmanuel. But still our bodies were of a fallen nature. We still carry a body that is of a fallen nature that is still to be redeemed. So his plan and his perfect plan will be in the end times, when God will come and dwell fully amongst us. He will be our God and we will be his people. He says we will be the sons of God and we will see him. There will be no temple. God and Christ himself will be the temple. We will worship right in the Holy of Holies, and we will look at him and we will see his glory. Hallelujah. Lesson number 3, those that overcome will inherit all things in the new heaven and earth, blessed with an internal relationship with God as their Father. are. What a blessing. It's very important that we understand. You remember when we looked in chapter 2 and 3 of Revelation, the book, the chapters, each church was commended for their good works and then rebuked for where they were lacking. But the chapter would always end and say, those that overcome will inherit. Those that overcome, let him that is ears hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. They that overcome shall eat of the tree of life, shall be rewarded with a crown, shall be a pillar in the house of God. So those that overcome shall inherit all things in the new heaven and new earth. It is a word to encourage us, says that as we labor, we do not labor in vain. Let us hold on to our faith. Let us fight a good fight of faith, because when we overcome, there is a reward that awaits us. We shall inherit all things. There is an inheritance that God has prepared for us in the new heaven and the new earth. Lesson number 4, not everyone will have access to the new Jerusalem, the city of God, even the new heaven that God will create anew. It's not for everybody. The Bible says unrepentant sinners will be excluded. Their portion will be in the lake of fire. Sadly, not everyone will be allowed into the new Jerusalem. There are many that will be excluded, unrepentant of their sin. They will not be given a portion in that which God makes anew. That is why it's important that anyone who is far away from God may turn to God now while there is still time, because beyond the grave there is no repentance. If someone does not repent now, they cannot repent after they die. There is no prayer for the dead that can change their situation. So there are many that will be excluded from that which God has prepared. So it is important, us that believe, let's hold on to our faith. Let's not fall away. Let's not be found among the abomination. Let's not be found among the sorcery, the lies. Let's not be found there, but let's be found in Christ and put on the righteousness of Christ. Lesson number 5, the heavenly Jerusalem is the wife of Christ. The Bible says, come and see the wife of the Lamb. Now, how do we know that this is the wife of Christ? You look at it, it combines both the Jewish church and the Gentile church, because it is the gates named after the tribes of Israel. But the church is named as the foundations, who are the apostles of Jesus Christ. So it is the church of God that has come together. There is no longer anything that separates Jew or Gentile. There is neither male nor female. As the Bible says, we are all one in Christ, the bride of Christ adorned. You remember in the book of Hebrews chapter number 12, it says, we have come to Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of God, to a company of innumerable angels, to those that are of the church of the firstborn, those that have been separated by the blood of Jesus, those that we have come to the mediator of the new covenant. Yes, he who has the blood that speaks better things than the blood of Abel. So when we talk about the new Jerusalem, we are also talking about the church. So we see the church represented by that city. It is a glorious city, because it is that city where the saints of God will serve and worship God from. What a blessing it will be for the saints that will be in that city. Hallelujah. Lesson number 6. There will be no temple in the city. God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. What a blessing. There will be no temple anymore. There will be no outer court, no inner court, no holy of holies. We are seeing God face to face. We are worshiping Him. We are fellowshipping with Him. And God will be available unto His children and unto His servants. We will worship Him freely with joy and with gladness. We'll lift our voices in worship, lift our hands in worship. There will be no limitation. There will be no barrier between us and God. This is the fulfillment of time. This is the fulfillment of prophecy, that which God has ordained for us in the end time. This is His plan for us, a place where we are no longer separated from God, but we are with Him where He is. We are also there. What a blessing it will be for us during that season. In eternity, we shall forever be with the Lord. Lesson number 7. Only those that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life will enter into the New Jerusalem. Only those whose names are in the Book of Life. Bazalwan, I cannot overemphasize why we need our names written in the book of life. We need to make sure one of the rewards that Christ speaks about to the churches in chapter 2, chapter 3 says, those that overcome, your name will not be blotted out of the book of life. It is very important, O saints, that our names are not blotted out of the book of life. Once we are in Christ, let's remain in Christ. That is why Apostle Paul says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Let us hold on to our salvation. Let us pray that we remain rooted in the faith. Let us pray for grace and mercy that our names may abide in the book of the Lamb. It is not just the book of life, but it is the book of the Lamb. It is the Lamb who puts the names of people there. No one else can enter your name into that book. Now, if it was your friend who was there, or if it was your uncle's book, he would favor you. But this is not the book of your uncle. It is the Lamb's book of life. If it was for a certain president or so, or certain powerful people, they would put their friends and put their relatives. But this book is not owned by a person. It is the book of life for the Lamb. And it is the Lamb that keeps a record of names of those that are in that book. And it is Him that gives access into the fullness of the presence of God in the New Jerusalem. And what a blessing and what a joy it will be. What a glorious city that God has prepared for those that are in the book of life, the book of the Lamb. This should motivate us to serve God. This should keep us and keep our focus on Jesus Christ, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Hallelujah. Can you pray with me today? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for revealing the plans that you have set for the future. We see, God, that which you have prepared for your children, that which you have prepared for us that believe in you. Oh God, what a city, what a beautiful city, a new Jerusalem, oh God, a glorious city. Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. I will come back again and I'll take you where I am. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that God, this is your plan. This is your purpose for us. And I pray, God, that you may keep us in the grace, keep us in the faith, keep us rooted in Christ, that, God, we may not be moved or shaken away, tossed away by every wind of doctrine. I pray for your grace and your mercy upon the saints and their lives and their families, that our names, O God, may not be blotted out of the book of life. Give us the grace, Father, to prevail and to overcome, that in the end we may be found standing, that in the end we may overcome, that in the end we may be found still in the Lord. That's our prayer, O God, and I believe you answer our prayers and you hear us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for joining me. Tomorrow we go to lesson number 22, which is our last lesson. What a journey it has been. Thank God for His grace. I thank God for the Spirit of God. And I believe that God has something for you again tomorrow. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Thank you for listening. For more of these teachings, send us a WhatsApp message on +27 73 355 0334.